The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate that. I appreciate that introduction. And stay tuned for a future podcast episode. Aaron and I just recorded a podcast here, and I interviewed him to glean as much wisdom as I could from a dad of 7, I think he has. And he's done some very intentional things with his sons, moving them through rites of passage. And so, anyways, that'll come out on a future podcast episode. But thank you, Aaron. I appreciate everyone coming here today. I wondered if anyone would show up for this session, because on the name badge, it says an oink in a dink world, and it doesn't really explain what it was. And so I'm like, do people, like, this means nothing to anybody, but there was a little descriptor in the book. So somebody showed up. So thank you. There are some seats at the front, just like at church. You know, no one wants to sit at the front, but there are seats up here. So thanks. Thanks so much for coming this afternoon to the talk. Like Aaron said, this is my family here. We have 10 kids. Our youngest will be 1 in about 2 weeks. Hey, Mr. Brock. Hi, good to see you. I just met Brock last weekend at the Impactus Men's Conference. Was anyone here at that Impactus Conference last weekend? A couple of you? Great, awesome. You guys must be like the best men in Winnipeg. You're going to a men's conference on a Saturday one weekend, and you're at a homeschooling conference on a Saturday the next weekend. So thank you for that. This is my family, and we've got 10 kids. We'll hear more about them in a few minutes. I do have a podcast and a YouTube channel called Helping Men Thrive. My friend Ryan and I started this about 2 years ago, and we talk about our mistakes and we interview other men and hear about their mistakes. And today you're going to hear about some of my mistakes, but really we found that we had friends in our community, in our church. These are our godly men in small groups leading house churches and winning at work, but losing at home, or winning in ministry and losing at home. And we had friends getting separated and divorced. And it was just, we said, can we do something maybe to help other men? And so talking about our mistakes is a way we can do that. We can learn from our own mistakes, or it's even better if we learn from other people's mistakes. So we interview guys and just try to learn about kind of the work-life balance. That would be the phrase to describe kind of what we do. But really, our whole lives are all holistic. It's not just work and life, but that's that. Aaron mentioned this. I've written a couple books here. Fiction for Kids, Danger in the Jungle, Hardy Boys, Jurassic Park, Indiana Jones. That was what I was trying to put into this book. I wrote it for my boys, because boys are sometimes harder to entertain with a book. I looked at my competition as like PlayStation and Xbox are my competition, not other authors. So could we write a book for kids or for boys that is going to pull them away from the screens and hopefully get them into books? So that's my book. And the second one just released, Yes, Dear, I'm Watching Them. This is stories of me and my 10 kids and how some adventures we've had when we got stranded on the ferry and our big homeschool van wouldn't start between Vancouver Island and the mainland. All the other cars drove off the ferry. We're just looking around, tried, the van wouldn't start. Anyways, we made it off the ferry, but stories like that. And then at the end of every story, just a little idea for dads of what you could do with your kids, you know, put your phone away, go do something with your kids. Time flies, so make every moment count. We're talking about finances here this afternoon. And if anyone was anyone in my talk about being intentional yesterday? Okay, a few of those. You'll see some themes woven through about a small choice. We're talking about small choices and being intentional in our lives. Yesterday, we're going to talk about small financial choices that we can make to be intentional in our lives today. The title kind of said it, the term DINK, double income, no kids. We are living in a culture that loves double income, no kids. We're living in a culture that doesn't necessarily bring out the cheering for the one income family, and things are getting more expensive. Last Monday, I live about a mile from the North Dakota border, from the U.S. border, and so we have a post office box in North Dakota. I went across to get $260 worth of goods that me and my wife had bought online, and coming back into the beautiful country of Canada, they asked me, what have you bought and where was it made? And I said, I've never been asked where was it made before. They said, well, we need to know where it's made because we have tariffs that we want to let you partake of, or that we would like to partake of from you. So it was the longest border crossing I've ever had for, you know, the 7 or 8 items that I had. And my $260 cost me $58 in tariffs coming back into Canada. So I said to the lady, the objective here is to prevent me from buying in the States. And she said, that is exactly what the objective is. I said, well, it might be working because this is a 10-second border crossing turned into a 15-minute financial class in tariffs and what applied to what. So we're living in a world where things are getting more expensive, and what can we do about it? One of my mentors used to say to me, what one man can do, another man can do. And I'm a little intimidated actually standing here, because I have met some businessmen in here that are in various industries and construction and farming, and their sons are getting involved in their businesses. And I'm like, there's a lot of wisdom in this room of families that are doing it right economically. So if you are one of those guys, man, I encourage you to just keep going. And there's guys like me that are looking at you and wanting to become smarter economically and smarter in our businesses. And so what one man can do, another man can do. If there are guys in here that are really crushing it on the business front, we can learn from you and we can learn from each other. If there's someone that you know that is doing something that you want to do, what one man can do, another man can do. Take them out for coffee, learn from them, ask them questions. Mentoring and discipleship in our families, so, so important. Okay. Who was your favorite teacher? If you look back on your life, I don't know if you had a teacher like this that stood on the desk and yelled at you. I was homeschooled for a few years. I went to a small private school for a few years. I went to a bigger private school for a few years, and I went to public high school, and then I went on to college. So I saw the spectrum of education, and I would say that my best teacher has been experience, and not necessarily someone standing in a classroom and teaching me what to do and telling me what to do, but the school of hard knocks. It's called the school of hard knocks for a reason, right? Because you learn something, hopefully, through those hard knocks. Dave Ramsey. Has anyone here heard of Dave Ramsey? Financial guru, we could say, a believer down in the States. I'm going to talk a lot about him this afternoon. But he uses a term called stupid tax, and he says, let other people pay your stupid tax. If other people have done stupid things, you can learn from them and hopefully not repeat the same mistakes that they do. So I think experience is the best teacher. Hopefully today you'll be able to learn and be encouraged by some of my experiences and what I've learned. Okay, debt in Canada. I know none of you here probably have debt, but there are other Canadians not at the homeschooling conference this weekend, and they have debt. The average credit card, and when I read this, I'm like, I think this is low. I would think it's higher than this, is about $4,200. This was from MoneySense.ca 2023, I believe these stats were. The average consumer debt, so consumer debt is outside of your mortgage. So this is car loans, this is student loans, this is RSP loans, this is all things outside of your mortgage, about $21,000. And depending on your age group there, you know, the average Canadian will have between $22,000 to $28,000 worth of debt outside of their mortgages. This is not a good thing. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. I want you to just let's do a little activity. Close your eyes for a minute. Only if you have debt, close your eyes. If you don't have debt, you don't have to close your eyes. Close your eyes and just imagine what it would feel like to not have any debt. So you get your paycheck, or it's direct deposited, and you put it in your account, and immediately it doesn't disappear. But okay, maybe you tithe, you give some money to your church, you maybe can give some money to other charities with your first fruits, and then you still got money left in your account because you don't have debt. So you can maybe go on a date with your husband or your wife. That would be nice. Maybe you can take one of your kids out on a date because you don't have debt. You go get groceries, you pay your bills, and there's still money in the account. And just stay here for a minute. Like, this feels good. It feels good not to have debt. You can open your eyes. back to reality. So you still have your debt, but it is possible to get out of that debt. And hopefully my story will encourage you, because I hope some of you haven't made the same mistakes that I have. But when you pay off your debt, it feels really good. And sometimes we need to make sacrifices to do that. And Dave Ramsey says, if you want to live like no one else, you've got to live like no one else. True. Do you get what that means? It means sometimes you got to make some sacrifices, perhaps, and get to a spot where you can live. I've talked to a few parents here that I think they said they didn't have a TV. You know, that's living like no one else. Most people have a TV. I talked to some that are a single income home. That's living like not many people. A lot of people are double income homes. So I want to encourage you that if you don't have a TV, if you're trying to make a single income work, you know, you can do it. And it's okay to live like no one else, because you're going to see the harvest from your efforts down the road. Live like no one else, so later you can live like no one else. This is me in, I'm going to say, 1989. That was at one of our private Christian schools with our family. And that's my parents there. We all teach our kids money things. What are you unintentionally teaching your kids about money? Are you saying things in conversations around your house that your kids are picking up on? Like, this is how mom and dad think about money. When I was growing up, my dad was running his own business. He had a farm equipment manufacturing company. I remember mom and dad fighting. I don't know if the word is fighting, you know, discussing like, hey, are we going to get a paycheck this week? I remember this conversation happening with my mom asking my dad that. So I remember a lot of these conversations of, maybe it's just what I remember, and they didn't talk about this as often as I think, but it felt like there was always these conversations. So I grew up with thinking, is there enough money? Do we have enough money? Are we going to run out of money? And that was kind of the mindset around money that I grew up with. So I want you to be aware of the conversations you're having around your home, around money, and what your children are picking up from those conversations. And this really came to light with me about 6 months ago when I heard my 13-year-old son say, Dad, do we have enough money? Are we going to run out of money? And I'm like, what gives you that idea? Where are you thinking about that? And then I was like, we were talking about money the other day. I'm like, no, we're not going to run out of money. It's going to be okay. We're going to be fine. But I'm like, where is he picking this stuff up from? Because it must be from things that I'm saying unintentionally. So I want you to be aware of what you're teaching your kids about money. So let me tell you a little bit about my story. We got married in 2004 and we bought a rental property in a college town. We figured there's students coming in and out. It's going to be a good opportunity to make some passive income. I had just read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Has anyone heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad? He talks about creating passive income, and real estate is a way to do that. And I've talked to lots of homeschooling families that are doing very well at generating passive income through rental properties. So we thought we would do this. So we lived in the basement of the house and we rented up the upstairs. And on Father's Day of 2007, we were in the basement. The upstairs was separate. We were renting it out to a few individuals. And I walked out of my house and there was a police car in my driveway. So if you're a landlord, I hope you're doing background checks on some of your tenants, okay? So we had a tenant and I got up on Father's Day 2007, and there's a police car in my driveway. I said, hello. It was a lady officer. I said, hello, ma'am. Should I be concerned that you're parked here in my driveway? And she said, who are you? I said, well, I'm the homeowner. This is my house. We live in the basement. She's like, were you here last night? I'm like, I was here. I was sleeping comfortably in my bed. What happened here last night? She said, well, I can't tell you what happened. I'm like, okay, well, that's not a very good sign. I can't tell you what happened, but if you go onto the city police website, you should be able to put the details together. Like, okay. So I went onto the city police website and found that there had been a murder in my town. And I read some of the details and did put two and two together. And so on the Saturday, one of our tenants had gone to a party or something on another part of town, and a drug deal was involved. And anyways, that tenant is now away for 25 years, and he won't be paying rent for that 25-year sentence that he has. So my wife had seen him on Saturday, and she was able to put a timeline to the events. They were trying to figure out what had happened. My wife had gone to the park with our kids in the morning, seen him come home in a taxi. Then my wife went to the park, came back, and he was coming out of the house, and he had changed his clothes and stuff and was going away. So what we realized was she had seen him come home from the event and went and got changed and cleaned up, and then he left again. And so then she was a witness in this trial. So we spent Father's Day of 2007 at the police station while my wife was giving her testimony of what happened with our tenant. The moral of that story, I guess, is do background checks on your tenants. And rental properties are great in some situations, and they may not be so great in other situations. But our idea was to generate passive income through a rental property. So we did that. I started working for a company, and I was in a sales commission role. And if you've ever been in a sales commission role, if you're good at sales, that's great. You can make a lot of money. If you're not good at sales, it's a little bit more difficult. And sometimes you would have a bad month and you think, oh, well, I'll just sell more next month and it will get better. Well, you can only have so many of the bad months in a row before it starts to get worse. And so we can either have the pain of change or the pain of regret. And so if we are not willing to change what we're doing now to put ourselves in a different situation, we may end up living with the pain of regret. And sometimes we need to make hard and difficult decisions as we make those changes. And that is the pain of change. But better in some scenarios, and probably all scenarios, better to have the pain of change than the pain of regret. So here we are. We were living in this house. I was not making very much from sales in my job. And I came across a Dave Ramsey book when I was at a thrift store. I didn't have enough money to buy his books for real, so I had to buy his books at the thrift store. So I paid $2.99 for The Total Money Makeover. Has anyone read that or heard The Total Money Makeover, one of Dave Ramsey's books? Financial Peace University is his course. Some of you might be familiar with that. So I started to read The Total Money Makeover, and it talked about taking baby steps and doing a baby step at a time. Does anyone here know how to eat an elephant? I think I heard it. One bite at a time, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And Dave Ramsey goes through his system, and I'm not endorsed by Dave Ramsey, or I don't know Dave Ramsey, and he's not paying me. I wish he would. These are Dave Ramsey's baby steps. And so we're going to just talk about the first three here today, and you can research the rest on your own. Baby step number one is save $1,000 for an emergency fund. Baby step number two, pay off all your debt except for your house. Baby step number three is save an emergency fund, which is approximately 3 to 6 months of your income. And then four, invest 15% of your household income for retirement. Save for your kids' education is number five. Pay off your home early, and then build wealth and give. So we're primarily going to stick to number one, two, and three. So baby step number one is save $1,000. I was shocked at the freedom. I felt like I was like free when we had saved $1,000 in our bank account. I was like, if the washing machine breaks, $1,000, get me a new washing machine. No problem. Won't have to put it on the Visa. If the kids are fighting and someone breaks a tooth, we can go to the dentist. $1,000 is going to help pay for that. If the car needs brakes, $1,000 is going to pay for that. I was like, whatever happens to us, any disaster that could happen to us, I will be able to pay off with $1,000. So we worked and saved up $1,000. Dave Ramsey says you should shoot to do this in 30 days if you can. If it means you need to like sell your drum set that you've had since you were 10th grade, or you have to sell your beautiful guitar, maybe you need to downsize your car and get a cheaper car, do whatever you can. Have a garage sale, sell your stuff, sell your kids. Well, no. Don't sell your kids, but sell your guitar. Save $1,000 and put it in the bank so that you're going to be good in case any small emergency happens. Get there in 30 days if you can. Okay, so a small thing like saving $1,000, which seemed a big thing to me at the time, but really if you work hard at it, I believe you can save $1,000, and it's a small thing. A small choice can make a big change. I used to work in our family business. We were a agricultural manufacturing company. We built primarily equipment for the potato, carrot, and onion industry. So we had a job and we were installing this. This is a filter for a water system in a carrot plant. You can see there's a lady standing beside it. It's about 6 feet tall or whatever. It's a giant water filter. The water goes in the top and there's a bunch of screens in it that screen out the stuff and the clean water comes out of the bottom. We were installing this job and we were going to face a $10,000 a day penalty if we didn't have their carrot line up and running by a certain date. And this was the last piece of equipment we had to install, filtering the water. So it was about 4 o'clock on the last day of doing the install, and we could not get this thing to operate properly. We would fill it up with water. The water's supposed to just flow through, but the water would overflow and start pouring out of the top around whoever happened to be standing there or the equipment around it. We could not figure out why this filter was not working properly. We called their technicians. We had our electrician changing voltage. We were adjusting screens. We were trying all sorts of different things. We could not figure out why this machine would not filter properly. And we're thinking we're going to have to pay $10,000 tomorrow if we do not have this line up right, up and running. So we worked through the whole night troubleshooting, trying to get this crazy filter to work. Now, at one point in the night, there was a little plastic cap on one of these discharge chutes about the size of a plate, like a kitchen plate. Little plastic cap. And at one point in the night, we had taken the plastic cap off to look down into the chute and see if it was clogged. It wasn't clogged. When we took the cap off, the filter ran fine. We're like, okay, it's running fine. Good. Put the plastic cap back on. Filter stopped running fine. Why won't it run fine? We don't know. So we keep doing things. We keep trying things, electrical stuff and changing the vibration of the machine. And we couldn't get it until finally, at like 6 a.m, after working all night, someone clued in, it worked when we took the plastic cap off. This tiny plastic cap was creating a vacuum so the water would not flow through the chute. And the cap was only on there for shipping purposes to prevent it from getting dinged up while it was being shipped. We took the plastic cap off and it ran perfectly fine. We had 4 guys working all night to figure out why this dumb filter wasn't working because of a small plastic cap that was on there for shipping reasons. Small things can make a big change. Save $1,000. That's the moral of that story. As fast as you can. Okay. So that's the first step, saving $1,000. The second step is to pay off your debt using the debt snowball. If some of you have heard of Dave Ramsey, you probably know what the debt snowball is. Can I have a volunteer to explain the debt snowball? Yes. I think that's sort of close to it. I think, isn't it pay the smallest amount first? Okay, smallest balance first. So that was close, but pay the smallest balance first and then pay minimum payments on everything else. And keep working down, like he said, to pay it all through until you get it paid off. For me, I wanted to pay the highest interest first. I'm like, doesn't it make more sense to pay the highest interest first? And Dave Ramsey's like, just pay the smallest one off. Number one, it's going to get something off of your list and that's going to make you feel good. Hey, like we're making progress and now it's going to free up a little bit more to go to number two. And you keep working down the list to pay off your debts, using the debt snowball. So, we began to do this. We'd saved our $1,000. We began to pay our debts off. And I had a mentor say this to me at the time. He said, if what you're doing isn't working, you either need to change what you're doing or change what you're doing. Either change what you're doing or change what you're doing. And what he meant was I was in a commission sales job. So I either needed to change what I was doing and increase my activity and sell more. Or maybe I needed to change what I was doing and go get a different job where I could make some money. He's like, you got to make a choice of what you're going to change. Fortunately for me, I had family around that was in our family business, which I had mentioned earlier, and they needed help for 2 weeks to do a couple things. So I went and for 2 weeks, I helped out at our family business. And 10 years later, I was still working in the family business. if any of you grew up in a family business, you might have said, like I did, like, I'm never going to work in the family business. Is it, how many here? I like every hand is going to go up, I bet. How many people work in a family business here? A whole bunch. There's lots of family businesses around here. I said I would never work in a family business, but I began to do that. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. If I was just going to keep not selling and my debt was going to get worse and worse, I was not going to get any different results than what I had. So it came to a point where we had, I think I skipped this part. We had a couple credit cards. We owed the dentist money. I owed my brother money. We had an RSP loan. We had an investment loan. And we were trying to pay all of this off. And it got to a point where I actually started paying my mortgage with my credit card. Now, I'm not going to ask for any. Well, here, I'll ask for hands here. Who thinks it's a great idea to pay your mortgage with your credit card? Yeah, no hands go up. Okay, great. Who thinks it's a great idea once your credit cards are maxed out to just stop paying your mortgage? Okay, no hands going up. Well, this was me. And I stopped paying my mortgage. And at this point, I made a transition to start working with our family business, which I just said, and began working for them. And then we began to start paying our debt off because I couldn't keep doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. I had to make a change. So I got involved in our family business and was working there for about 10 years as we began to pay off our debt. Dave Ramsey says, debt is dumb. Somewhere around the same time frame, we were driving a minivan for 8 people. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of math here. So we had 5 kids at the time, and we had my wife and I. How many is that? 7. And if you're driving an 8-passenger van, how many empty seats do you have left? 1. So if you have 1 baby, then you will still be able to drive your van, right? So my wife came home from an ultrasound. And for the first few ultrasounds, I went to see. But then eventually, you can only see so many static alien baby heads. They all kind of look the same. So I stopped going to the ultrasounds. I thought, she came home from the ultrasound with a DVD. And I'm like, why? Like, I've seen this all before. Why did you bring a DVD home from the ultrasound? So she's just watch it. Just watch it. So we put it in on the computer. And I'm watching, and I'm like, I'm very familiar with static alien heads, and I'm pretty sure I'm counting 1, 2. So let's go back to the math. 7 people in our family, 1 empty seat in our van, and we're going to have how many babies? 2. So the first thought I had when I realized we were having twins, I'm like, our van is obsolete. We need to go to get the homeschooling conference van. If you drove in the parking lot here, these are my people driving the big homeschooling vans. So a friend of mine said to me, So we were driving an 8-seater van and we had a Honda Civic, a little efficient car. The Honda Civic got hit on the side of the road and was a write-off. So now we had 1 van and no car. So can you drive around with a family of 9 in an 8-seater van? The answer is no, you cannot. So, well, I suppose you could, but I don't recommend it. So a friend said to me, well, are you going to, I said, I don't have enough money for a van. I'm trying to pay off debt. I don't want to get more debt. He said, are you going to just go get a loan so you can get a big van? I said, no, I am never going to get another loan again. And we were close to having our debt paid off at this point. I said, I'm not going to borrow another dollar to get a loan. Now we could have done this. But, you know, unless you know the local police, you know, you're not going to get around doing this very long. So we ended up driving 2 vehicles for 2 years, actually, while we saved up to pay cash for a van. So we did that. And we said we wanted to make our kids part of this situation. And I was talking to my wife about it. And we had come to a point where our debt was almost paid off. And we were also trying to save for a van. We had $20,000 saved for the van. We're so close. We can get the van. I don't know if you can get a van for $20,000 today, but in like 2017, you could get a van for $20,000. So we had almost saved up, but we still had a little bit of debt. And I said, hun, let's just get the van. I'm sick of driving two vehicles around. She said, I really think we should just pay off the rest of the debt. We had like 16,000 or something of debt left. And I listened to Dave Ramsey in my head, like, debt is dumb. Pay off your debt. Debt is dumb. I said, okay, hon, we'll pay off the debt and we'll start our van savings again because we were so close to getting our van. But I learned that if you change one letter in the word wife, you get wise. So I had to listen to my wife because she was wise and I was foolish. We paid off our debt and then we started to save for our van. And I wanted our kids to be involved in saving for the van. So we created the Vanometer. So this was a piece of Bristol board that we had on the wall at our house. And our goal was to save $20,000. So every time we would save a little bit more, the kids would color in the van. So I'd like, kids, we're saving up. So I get my paycheck. We put some in the van savings and we saved up and saved up and saved. I guess we stopped coloring it in, but we eventually saved up our $20,000 and the kids realized how much money it takes to get a van. So I called the dealership and I said, hey, I would like to show my kids what it takes to pay a van. Can I come in with $20,000 cash and pay for a van? Like, will you accept that? They're like, yeah, we'll accept cash. I'm like, okay. And then I called again just to make sure, like, will you accept if I come in with a briefcase full of cash, you're going to accept that? They said, yes, we'll accept that. I said, okay. So I went to TD Bank and I wanted to have my briefcase like overflowing. So I asked for $20,000 in $5 bills. This is true. And they said to me, sir, we do not have $20,000 in fives. Like, do you have like a debit card? Like, people don't even use cash anymore and you want $5,000 bills? I said, okay, well, what can you give me? They said, we can give you 20s. I said, okay, I'll take 20s. My briefcase wasn't as full as I had hoped it would be with the fives, but we filled it up with 20s. And then I took my kids to the car dealer and I said, girls, our older kids said, this is how much it takes to buy a vehicle. A lot of money, a briefcase full of money. This was the owner. Like, they took us in the back. They have all these cash counting machines. I guess they get $20,000 briefcases all the time, but we had two machines going at the same time, counting all the cash. And we got our van. Now, I am kind of proud of that. I'll be honest with you, but only a couple of years before we were like $28,000 or $30,000 in debt. And so we had really worked hard to dig our way out of this hole, even to the point where my wife will, if you talk to her over at our booth, she will tell you she would go grocery shopping with the kids, want to go to Tim Hortons and get like a tea for like $1.19. She's like, no, can't go get the tea for $1.19 because we are trying to save up, to pay off our debt. We're trying to save for a van, you know, and she had times where she was declined, like trying to buy her groceries. And like, that's humiliating as a husband. I'm sure it's humiliating for her to be in the store and be declined trying to. And I just felt like a total loser, which I was. And I should have changed things earlier than I did. But we were able to pay off our debt, get out of debt, and save for our van. Okay, so let's transition now to just quickly talking about saving 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. So not just $1,000. Okay, enough of the car dealership here. We're not going to go there yet. But talking about a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. Why do we save an emergency fund for 3 to 6 months? Because if you were to lose your job or have something happen, get sick and it's a family emergency, 3 to 6 months of your salary saved up is going to help you weather a lot of storms. And so step one, save $1,000. Step two, use the debt snowball and pay off your debt as fast as you can. Step three is save 3 to 6 months in an emergency fund. And now this is a longer term kind of emergency fund that if you were to lose your career or get sick, that it's going to help you weather the storm for a little while. So that is the third step. Now I want to talk a little bit about generosity. Was anyone in Lorne Robinson's financial class yesterday? Some of you did? Okay. I'm going to show a clip of Lorne. I interviewed him for our podcast last year at this convention. And Lorne is in the financial advisor world. And he said, generosity is a topic that doesn't often get talked about in the financial advisor client relationship. Lots of people talk about saving money for retirement, saving for kids' education, paying off debt. But rarely does generosity get spoken about. The average annual gift by Canadians is $446. Now, if we're going to look at a biblical perspective of tithing 10%, I have a hunch that most Canadians make more than $4,460 annually, and they're just tithing this 10%. In Canada, people, this is interesting, people who attend religious services, I believe was the term from Stats Canada, on average give $1,000 a year. So that's better. People who don't attend religious services give $313 a year on average. And if your income is over $120,000, you give on average $744 a year. Bless you for your generosity to the world, the 0.6% of your income, and not any better for lower incomes. The point here is that overall, we live in a society that is not very generous. And so I would encourage you, as you're thinking about saving, paving off debt, having business and stuff, boy, be generous. And how do we decide what we support with our giving and with our charities? I had a mentor, the same mentor that always would tell me, what one man can do, another man can do. I asked him, how do you decide where you support and what you support? And he said, you know, when I go through the checkout line at the grocery store, they'll sometimes ask me for money for this charity or that charity. And he said, there's a vast population of people that will support those charities. He said, I have a heart as a believer to support charities that are growing the kingdom of God and celebrating what God is doing. And he said, so I have an easy time saying no at the checkout counter to those charities, because I know that I do support those charities that are trying to spread Jesus' love through the world. And I just thought that was a great boundary, because I'll sometimes feel like guilt, like I should support this charity, this charity, this charity. He said, I just support the charities that are in line with my beliefs, and it makes it easy for me to say no, because there is a big population of people that are supporting those other charities. I thought that was very helpful when thinking about giving and when thinking about generosity. How do people learn generosity? How do our kids learn generosity? Well, they learn it by example. Like, they learn a lot of things. When we hear them saying bad words, where do they learn the bad words from? Probably from their mom, right? Kids learn by example. By seeing, this is small, you probably can't read it at the back, by seeing parents volunteer, by seeing someone they admire helping others, probably their dad, they probably admire their dad, so. By participating in sports, participating in student government, okay, interesting. Participation in a religious organization, that could be like a church, for example. Door-to-door canvassing, volunteering, belonging to a youth group. There are a number of these points that impact giving that relate to a homeschooling family. You know, volunteering, being involved in a religious community, seeing your parents be generous, talking to your kids. It gives me great joy to go to church on Sunday and see my 13-year-old son putting money in the offering. It's like, great, he is getting this. He is learning this. We do talk about it, but our kids are going to learn these things from our examples. Now, sometimes in family, money can create tension and problems. And I've been in financial agreements with family that have worked out fine, but could have worked out poorly. And I want you to remember, and I'm going to play a Lorne Robinson clip here a sec from our interview last year. You know, those relationships are more important than the money. We could maybe argue about that depending on the amount of money, but I just want you to think about grace and forgiveness. I want to watch this clip of Lorne Robinson. So he lent some money to his adult daughter, I believe it was. Let's see what happened.
Lent some money to my daughter. Bless him. After it's all said and done, you get your job. And she started to do that. Then she fell on challenging times, did not have the money to pay. And I began to feel this money is owed to me. My thinking began to shift toward my daughter, and I felt this between, and I thought about that verse. My daughter has become a slave to me. She's become the borrower. I've become the lender. It's creating that friction in the relationship of dad to daughter. That's dangerous. And I had to forgive the loan. I said, it's done. It's a gift.
Right.
And I let it go.
Right.
And it's important to let it go, because the relationship with your children are what's most important. and you maintain that at all costs. After all, this is only money. The significant part is that we maintain a relationship with our children, because if not, we lose our influence.
I don't know if you could hear, he was getting choked up when he told this story to me, and it was just an inspiration to me that he was to share that story and the impact that it has on a family. We have in our community, there's another family business that it was three brothers involved, and they got in an argument over the business, and the whole family is all split up and divided now. And it's over the business. It's over money. And it's, you know, I don't know the details, so I'm not judging them or anything, but boy, if you can maintain those relationships at all costs and have forgiveness, even if it's difficult, I would just encourage you to do that, because those relationships are so important, especially with your kids. If you're in a lending money to your kids scenario, which Dave Ramsey would say, don't ever do that, because of what it can do to a family. So yeah, I would encourage you to have forgiveness if you can. All right. We're going to talk quickly. We got about 10 minutes left here. If you are not making enough money or you can't make ends meet, you have two options. One is to increase your income, and the other one is to decrease your expenses. A lot of us have some expenses that we could probably decrease. We've got a lot of subscription services these days, like on Spotify or YouTube Premium or Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever. We don't have a TV, so I don't know what all the TV streaming services are, but there are a whole bunch out there. And there's an area that often people can find a way to save some money is cut back on some of their expenses. I have a slide here, I think, that actually goes through a couple other ideas. So increasing income. How can you increase income? Get a second job, get a side hustle, get a better paying job. Okay, those are like employee kind of things, but starting a business, you know, is there something that you can do maybe with a friend or family member to get a business started? We've got lots of business owners here at this conference this weekend. Investing in stocks, online business. There's opportunities for doing online businesses these days. I have hired video editors for our podcast that are in like Pakistan, and it's all online. I never meet these guys. I hire them to do the work. Sometimes they do a good job. Sometimes you don't hire them again. So I've learned that lesson as well. Real estate, rental properties. Some people love rental properties. Some people hate rental properties. If you're looking at getting into rental properties, I would say find someone who's doing it well and is good at vetting their tenants, and learn from them and copy them and do it well. Freelancing, you know, blogging and Instagram. There's a lot of social media things. I've started a podcast and a YouTube channel where it's just costing me money right now. It's not making me any money, but you know, there's people that are doing really well online doing marketing products and different things like that. How can we decrease expenses? Spend less. Cut the cord, spelled cord like music, like subscription services to Spotify, et cetera, like I just mentioned. Eating out less. We did this for a long time. I don't know if there were years, but I think there were years that we did not darken the door of a Tim Hortons because we were saving every penny that we could to get out of debt. Comparing insurance, cashback apps, and credit cards. Forget that's even on there. Like Dave Ramsey would just burn this whole building down if he saw that. We said try and save money with your credit card. Coupons, phone upgrades. Boy, so many people will get the latest iPhone. They're lining up outside the store to get the new model and upgrading. And tax breaks. Another benefit to having your own business is income taxes and how you can use expenses to write off. So there's a couple like really basic, simple ideas on how you can decrease expenses or increase your income. All right, we're going to wrap this up here. How do you eat an elephant? One small bite at a time. A small choice can really make a big change. So like Dave Ramsey says, his seven baby steps, let's review them again. Save $1,000 for an emergency fund. Pay off your debt. Accept your house using the debt snowball, which is paying the smallest balance at a time, then the next biggest balance, then the next biggest balance. Baby step number three is saving 3 to 6 months of your salary expenses. And then begin to save and invest for your retirement, for your kids' education, pay off your home, and be able to build wealth and give. So I hope you learned something from my story. We were able to pay off our debt. We were able to save money. We are in a fantastic situation today. We did sell our house and buy a cheaper house. That was another thing that we did a couple years ago. We moved from Ontario to Saskatchewan. so we could start doing a homestead sort of thing. And we butchered our first pigs 2 weeks ago, so that was a learning experience. So we got some calves and some pigs and some ducks and some animals. And so we are learning about that. I'm going to wrap this here. I would like to hear, though, before I do that, because we do have some business people in here and you guys have learned your own financial lessons. Does anyone have any tips or advice that have worked in your life, financially speaking? We got a few minutes. I'd love to hear them. Yes, Andrew. Great. That's good. Like, learn how to do things yourself, plumbing, electrical. Aaron, I think, who introduced me, he said, like, he's learned his own mechanical stuff, doing his brakes and stuff on his car to help save money and also to help his sons learn about that, because he said, my dad never showed me how to do that. I'd like my sons to know how to do that. So there's things you can do yourself. Yes. Teach your kids how to do your taxes. And so you sometimes need to find people in your community that are good at it and mentor, and what one man can do, another man can do, learn from those other people. Couple more. What's the app called? Wallet by Budget Bankers is a free app. Yeah, we didn't really talk about budgeting. Dave Ramsey would go nuts about budgeting too. Like, that's important. And that app, say it again. Creates it. Yeah, great. Yes, I know. I have spreadsheets on my computer that start and then is like, I can't track this anymore. So yes, budgeting. Great. Good one. Yes, sir. Give to God what's His. Depend on Him. Yep. He will. So important. Trust God. Give to Him what's His. Yes. Yeah, Lauren. Yes. Right. Giving helps for tax purposes as well. Yes. 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 So you've seen. Great. Trust in God. He gave a couple examples of where He's given and supported, and then He's seen income or a promotion come as He's been faithful to give God what is God's. Check your motives for giving. If you're giving for tax purposes, yes, yes. And we're grateful we do have tax benefits right now in Canada. And will that be forever? I don't know. All right, one more, and then we're going to, at the back there. Very practical. Yep. Change your mortgage payments from monthly to biweekly or weekly, and you get an extra couple payments every year. Super practical. All right, it's just about 2:00. I just want to say thank you all for coming. I really appreciate it. I've got some resources at my booth. My two books are $15. I've got some resources. Last year I did a talk about pornography and screens, so I've got a couple books and resources for talking to your kids about screen use and pornography and what they're encountering. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures is one of those books. These two are about talking to your kids about sex and pornography. The Talks by Barrett Johnson and The Young Man's Guide to Awesomeness. This is for teenage boys. But The Talks is, you know, we don't just have one talk. I had one talk with my parents, but we need to be having intentional talks about finances, but also about sex and what's going on in your kids' life over years, you know, over many conversations as they ask questions. Mom and dad, you've got to engage your kids on that, because God has given you that responsibility to teach and disciple and train your kids on that front as well. And along similar lines, Barrett Johnson has an online program called Smartphones 101. It is a 10-session video course. They're about 5 to 7 minutes each that you can either watch on your own or watch with your kids as you're preparing to give them a smartphone. And what does this mean for our families? And what are our boundaries? And why are we careful about what we see with our eyes? It's called Smartphones 101. And if you use the code THRIVE, you'll get $10 off. It'll be $29 US dollars. So that's like $29,000 Canadian. But it's worth the investment. So thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Keep doing what you're doing.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.